Our main lesson that we're carrying with us is this, the unholy trinity made up of Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet will mercilessly rule the world during the end times. I believe the last 3.5 years of the tribulation time, which is the great tribulation time, and they will seek to wipe out all of God's people, and they would if God hadn't set out to save at least some of those people. And we've talked about that already. So, little story. According to doctors at the Good Samaritan Regional Medical Center in Phoenix, Arizona, rattlesnakes thought to be dead can still strike. They can bite and they can even kill you. Doctors in Phoenix said that they have a large number of patients admitted each year suffering from bites from rattlers thought to be dead. Sometimes the snakes were shot, their heads cut off, but the snake head retains a reflex action. According to one study, showed that snakes' heads could retain this reflex action and strike a deadly blow even up to an hour after their head had been decapitated. You know, that's a lot like Satan, isn't it? The old serpent, the scripture calls him. He was defeated at Calvary. He has been defanged. His head's been cut off. But for a season longer, he can still strike. And he can wound, and he can even kill if the Lord allows. Revelation gives us a clear picture of Satan's ability to harm even though he was conquered by the cross of Christ. In the end times, Satan will use a human protege, two of them, known as the beast, number one, who is the Antichrist, and beast number two, who is the false prophet, and they will unilaterally hunt down God's people during the Great Tribulation period. Now, although the scriptures have given us information about the Antichrist, Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 10, it sharpens its focus on this beast of a man who will one day rule the world in lawlessness, the Bible tells us. And then in verses 11 through 18, another beast of a man is mentioned, and he is the false prophet. And Satan and Antichrist and false prophet form this savage, unholy trinity. And their mission, as Antichrist are to do, is to displace Jesus Christ from his throne. And try as they may, and they will try. Church family, the good news is, as we all know, they will fail and go down in flames, literally. Amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. So in a series of messages, again, we're going to look at Revelation chapter 13. We're going to learn about these two beasts and how they will bring destruction upon the face of the earth. In particular, looking for God's people to murder and slaughter them. All right, that's the course in front of us, and that's what we're going to take. The first beast we're introduced to is the Antichrist. Point number one is this. Point number one, the Antichrist will be used by Satan to rule the world politically during the end times, verses 1 through 10. And this morning, we're going to look at verses 1 through 2, where we see the Antichrist will be given worldwide political power. And there's two things in particular the Scripture teaches about the Antichrist, in that this beast is described as an axis of world evil. And also, the beast is described as an axis of worldwide authoritarianism on steroids. So those are things we're going to unpack from verses 1 through 2 and look at this morning. By doing that, though, I do want to give a little bit more of a lengthy introduction about the Antichrist so we all have our heads on right in looking at this. But before we do, let's go to the Lord and let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are wonderful and holy and righteous and just. You are merciful and gracious and loving. And we praise you this morning that in your sovereign will, because of who you are. You have chosen to unleash this evil upon the face of the earth. And Lord, that is all a part of your plan. We can't change it. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll help us to accept it, believe it, and simply trust and obey you. And Lord, we thank you for giving us this true glimpse of the future. And so we pray this prayer in the name of Jesus, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a taste for this, the treasure of your holy word. Amen. So point number one, the Antichrist will be used by Satan to rule the world politically during the end times. So during the tribulation, lost sinners of the world are going to find a leader and they're going to coalesce around that leader. And that leader is going to be this first beast, the Antichrist. So the Antichrist is the Antichrist of all Antichrists that is going to walk the face of this earth. Now, there are Antichrists in the world today. There have been Antichrists in the world. First John, right? John the Revelator, who writes in his epistle, writes about the Antichrist that have infiltrated the church since the church began. Those Antichrists most often pose as a Bible teacher. And they spread false gospels, false doctrine within the church. Now, they've been around. But this Antichrist has not been around, has not been in the world, and is not in the world today, but will be in the world in some future time. And he, as one theologian says, is the Antichrist of all Antichrists. And so the people of earth, the lost sinners of earth, are going to look for a leader. They're going to be provided a leader by Satan, and he is going to be one heck of an evil person. He will be an all-powerful dictator who brutally rules this world. He will be a supremely evil, a magnificently deceptive, and a mercilessly wicked person known as the beast. He will receive his marching orders from Satan and Satan alone. And the Bible tells us that Satan will give him power, a throne, and an unquestioning authority to rule the world. One theologian says this, he will be worshipped as a god, and the whole world will marvel as they follow him. You know, the Antichrist has been introduced to us before in the Old Testament and in the New Testament before we get to Revelation. This Antichrist is the little horn of Daniel chapter 7. He is the prince who is to come of Daniel chapter 9. He is the lawless one or the man of sin in 2 Thessalonians. And he is the Antichrist that John talks about in his epistles. Daniel chapter 8 gives us even more detailed information about this Antichrist. So God, this has been planned since before the foundation of the earth, that Antichrist would come into the world, that this particular Antichrist would come into the world, and it's been told about in the Old Testament, and this is what Daniel chapter 8 says, a king of bold face, one who understands riddles, shall arise. His power shall be great, but not by his own power, and he shall cause fearful destruction and shall succeed in what he does, and destroy mighty men and the people who are the saints, God's people. By his cunning he shall make deceit prosper under his hand. And in his own mind he shall become great, narcissistic. Without warning he shall destroy many. And he shall even rise up against the prince of princesses. Who is that? The Lord Jesus Christ. And he shall be broken. Hallelujah. And then this is how he finishes up. But by no human hand. A supernatural power, the Lord Jesus Christ, will break him and bust him up. You know, even Jesus speaks about the Antichrist in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. Jesus says this to God's people, so when you see the abomination of desolation, that is the Antichrist, spoken of by the prophet Daniel, standing in the holy place. Well, where's the holy place? The temple of God. Where's the temple of God now? It's not been rebuilt. But when that temple is rebuilt, and I believe the Antichrist will help rebuild that temple, he will stand in there in place of God and proclaim to be God himself. And this is the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, standing in the holy place. And then the Bible says in a little footnote, let the reader beware. Let the reader beware. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Get out of town, in other words. Paul describes the Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He writes this about the Antichrist. Now, you got to remember the context here is the people of God were thinking the rapture had already taken place. And Paul is writing to them, telling them, no, the rapture has not taken place yet. And so this is what he says has to happen before that takes place. He says, let no one deceive you in any way. So you see, there were antichrists infiltrating the church, trying to deceive God's people about the end times. And Paul says to them, let no one deceive you in any way about that time period. And he goes on to write, for that day will not come, that is the day of the Lord's return, unless the rebellion comes first. That is speaking of the Antichrist. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. Now let me tell you this. If the Antichrist, of all Antichrists, known as the beast, arises in our time period, we have missed the rapture. All right? You missed it. Verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And you know what is restraining him now so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. And when the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming, the coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing, because they refuse to love the truth and to be saved. You see, there's a time sequence here, and Paul is telling me about the time sequence of when the Antichrist will come. And they don't need to worry. He's not arrived yet. I'm so thankful that the Scriptures reveal to us that God is in complete control of all things, of all events, even the places where we live, the Bible tells us God's in control of. And he's certainly in control of Antichrist because Satan's on a leash, he's on God's leash. And he can only do what God allows him to do when God allows him to do it to the extent that God allows it to happen. Amen? Amen. Uh-oh, devil. Right? Uh-oh, devil. You can't beat our God. The Bible clearly says Jesus is going to put this guy away with the breath of his mouth. Just that simple. Hallelujah. Some of you ain't convinced. Maybe you will be. So as you can tell from Scripture and from the name itself, Antichrist is one who is against Christ. He seeks to dethrone Christ and to place himself on the throne as God. Now that doesn't work out well for him, does it? His reign is short-lived for 42 months. He will be destroyed by Christ, and we give God glory for that. Nevertheless, while he has in power, he will seek to slaughter all of God's children, both Jew and Gentile alike, and he will, to a certain degree, slaughter some of them. So the Antichrist of Revelation 13, he is desperately wicked. Why do you refer to him as he? Because that's how the Bible refers to him, church family. This will not be a woman, this will be a man. He is desperately wicked, he is cunningly deceptive, he is notoriously murderous, he is power-hungry and godlike in his own depraved mind. He is the most ruthless narcissist that will ever have walked the face of the earth. As one theologian puts it, Antichrist, along with the false prophet, will launch the most terrorizing Holocaust ever witnessed by the world. Literally millions of people, a numberless number, will be slaughtered all over the world. Under the Antichrist, the world will be utterly decimated and destroyed. Now, we've had people like the Antichrist in power before. People such as Stalin, Hitler, Marx, Lenin, Putin, groups like Hamas and Hezbollah and Mao. And let me tell you, all those are going to look like choir boys compared to the ruthless nature of Antichrist. They're going to look like little choir boys. Never underestimate, and this is a truth I want you to remember and to take with you. As one theologian wrote, never underestimate the disaster a wicked, unbelieving politician empowered by Satan can do. Never underestimate him, church family. Point A, the Antichrist will be given worldwide political power. The Bible says, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 diadems on its horns and blasphemous names on its heads. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like a bear's, and its mouth was like a lion's mouth. And to it the dragon gave his power. The dragon is Satan. Gave his power and his throne and great authority. So if you recall the last verse of chapter 12, Satan is been kicked out of heaven once and for all. He's standing by the sea. He's looking at the sea, and now we know what he was looking at. What was he looking for? He was looking for the rise of Antichrist. That's what he's looking for. And so John was given a vision here of what Satan was looking for, this first beast rising from the sea. Now, what do we learn from this? Number one, we learn this. The beast is described as an axis of worldwide evil. That's what verse 1 tells us. Beast here refers to a wild, savage, vicious monster. Have you ever known a man like that? Wild, savage, and vicious. He's not housebroken. He's not tamed. He's not good. He is pure evil in human form. And here's the thing, there's no appeasing him whatsoever. Nothing can appease him. This word is truly fits the Antichrist, for he is a ferocious, ravenous, evil human being. And there is yet to be one like him to walk the face of this earth. Yes, there's been evil people, there's been evil men that have done evil things, but they will not compare an evil to this Antichrist. None whatsoever. Now, why was he coming out of the sea? Now, here again, we must think symbolic language. Now, the sea was often associated with evil in the ancient world. As one theologian writes, the sea is a reservoir of chaos. So what better place for the Antichrist to come from a reservoir of chaos? Another theologian says that the sea symbolically represents the evil nations of the world. And evil begets what? Evil. The great sea of unsaved humanity is the origin of this beast of a man, the Antichrist. So from the throngs of unsaved people that are on the face of this earth, a single human man will come from that sea of despicable, evil humanity, and it will be the Antichrist. The beast, the Antichrist, he duly represents a political power, a political kingdom on the face of the earth, as well as a individual man. All right? So here, we're not talking about some kind of party, but we're talking about an individual person who surrounds himself by deception, 10 powerful kings under him. And we'll get to that in a minute, to rule the world. Notice, the beast had 10 horns, 7 heads. Those 7 horns don 10 diadems or crowns, and the horns don a blasphemous name. A blasphemous name. Now, what does that tell us about the Antichrist? Well, Antichrist, first of all, has a striking resemblance to his master, Satan, Revelation 12:3. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon. Who is that? Satan. With 7 heads, 10 horns, and on his head 7 diadems. He looks a lot like Satan. Horns in Scripture represent strength. They represent power. They represent strength and power that can go on the offensive and also on the defensive. So the 10 horns then represent strength and power of 10 rulers that will rule under the authority and serve Antichrist. You see, this is a worldwide axis of evil. 10 represents the sum total of 10 rulers who possess all the political and all the military might of the world. Each of the 10 earthly rulers will be adorned with a crown, with a diadem, and they make up this axis of evil that will be worldwide in leadership. Now, which speaks of their great authority and their great power and their great wicked political influence. Now, this brings us to the seven heads. The seven heads represents seven powerful kingdoms that have been in history and one yet to be. So it represents successive world powers: Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. And who's the last? Antichrist. Antichrist. Number seven. All of these world powers have oppressed people, and in particular God's people throughout history. But Antichrist is going to turn up this oppressive flame 100-fold on God's people. Now, there's one last detail John gives us about the seven horns representing the seven successive world powers. Now, these world powers had blasphemous names on their heads. Most of these world powers took on the fact that they had leaders who thought they were gods themselves, just like the Antichrist. So throughout history, evil world powers gave themselves divine names. So this last evil empire, ruled by the Antichrist, will blasphemously give himself such a name. You see, they're against God. They're against Christ. They're against the Holy Spirit. They're against God's Word. They're against Him 100%, and they're against God's people. And so the Antichrist, with all of his political might and political power, is going to exalt himself and his kingdom above other so-called gods or objects of worship. He will be worshipped. So Antichrist's worldwide political power will be all-encompassing. There is nothing that will be able to be done out of sight from this worldwide power. And here's the thing. He's going to see himself as divine and demand worship from all of his followers. You know, one time the British Empire was known as the empire that the sun never set. Welcome again to that kind of empire. The end times, the sun will never set upon Antichrist's demonic worldwide axis of evil. And in that being said, the Bible also has already told us in Revelation 12, God's people, the children that don't make it to the refuge in the wilderness, will remain faithful to the commandments and the teachings of Christ. They're going to die for Christ instead of follow this evil axis of wide world power. Hallelujah. One last thing here, real quick. One last thing. We're going to see in verse 2, the beast is described as an axis of worldwide authoritarianism. Look at verse 2. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like a bear's, and its mouth was like a lion's mouth. And to it, the dragon gave his power and his throne and great authority. So verse 2 draws on imagery of the vision of Daniel chapter 7 once again. The beast, who is the Antichrist, is described as being like three different animals, like a leopard, like a bear, and like a lion. Now notice here the word like. He's not a leopard, he's not a bear, and he's not a lion. He's like those things in one way or the other. So leopard here points to the Greek Empire. And as we know, leopards are ferocious cats, very powerful and very fast. They attack swiftly. A bear points to the Medo-Persian Empire, and bears are ferocious. They have superhuman strength. They are stable. And a lion, who is the king of the jungle, so we say, points to the Babylonian Empire, and it points to the ferocity and the majesty and the consuming power of a lion, and that represented the Babylonian Empire. Now, all of these empires were authoritarian in nature. The king ruled. What the king said took place. Didn't matter. And so, the only way, the way that the Bible describes the Antichrist is that he says he's not just like a leopard, he's not just like a bear, he's not just like a lion. He is all three of them put together. And he has complete and utter authority and all the power he needs to back it up. That's what he's like. The second part of verse 2 says, "And to it," that is the Antichrist, "the dragon gave his power and his throne and great authority." So here's what we learn. Satan is the source of Antichrist's power. He is very powerful. You've heard that expression, if you tell a lie long enough, it what? Becomes the truth. That's the power of Satan. And so that's the way the world's going to be run in a even more than it is today. So there is no human political force, there's no human power on earth that's going to be able to stand before the Antichrist. Antichrist will rule over all the earth with complete and utter surety, total power. He will have unobstructed, unlimited, unhindered liberty to do exactly as he pleases with the peoples of the earth. His rule is one of utter authoritarianism, totalitarianism, and fascism, all wrapped up into one big tyrannical and autocratic dictatorial government. That's the way he's going to be. The U.S. Constitution will be a thing of the past. There will be no rights of the individual. You only have the rights that you're given by the Antichrist, and that's it. No one will be able to fight against him. The beast will be strong and relentless in his evil pursuit to wipe out anyone and anything, and in particular, the people of God who are against him. And, you know, this is not hard to believe. What the Bible is teaching us here is God's truth. And we have seen over history, time and time again, how a single person can come to power and rule a vast amount of the earth. So it shouldn't surprise us one bit that this is the way things are going to go down in the end times. And I'm thinking, Lord, thank you for taking me home before this all happens. God help my brothers and sisters who will be here. God help them. So the Antichrist is going to be used by Satan to rule the world politically during the end times, particularly the last 42 months, last 3.5 years. The Antichrist will be given worldwide political power. There will be no voting here. And if it is a vote, guess who's going to win? The Antichrist, the beast, is described in two different ways in verses 1 and 2. First, he's described as an axis of worldwide evil. The kingdom here is what we're thinking about, of worldwide evil. And the beast is also described as an axis of worldwide authoritarianism. One, it reminds me of Lord of the Rings, one ring to rule them all. And there's going to be one beast to rule all 10 kings of the world. And they will do everything he says that for them to do. Let me finish with a little story by none other than Paul Harvey. Don't you love Paul Harvey stories? All right, listen to this. This happened in Hershey, Pennsylvania, where an older woman was driving her Mercedes around a parking lot looking for a parking space, and she had been waiting patiently to find one open up. The shopping mall was crowded that day, and so the woman in the Mercedes zigzagged back and forth between the rows, and then she finally saw a gentleman coming out with his arms full of packages, and she followed him to his car, watched him load his car up with those packages, Watched him get in the car, start the car, and then back out of that spot. But before she could get her car into that spot, a young fellow whipped around her in his brand new red Corvette and zipped into that parking space that she had been waiting on. "Hey," shouted the woman, "I've been waiting for that parking place." To which the young gentleman said, "Sorry, lady, that's how it is when you're young and quick." Well, at that instant, she slammed her Mercedes into gear, floored that car, crashing it into the back of that Corvette and completely ripping the rear end off of that Corvette. And the guy said, "Hey, what are you doing? You can't do that." To which she said, "Well, that's how it is when you're old and rich." You know, sometimes ambition can get us in trouble, can't it? The ambition of this young man truly got him in trouble. Now listen to me. The ambition of Satan is a death blow to him. The ambition of this narcissistic Antichrist is what will do him in. You see, Satan, Antichrist, and false prophet, in the end, as ambitious as they are going to lose. God always prevails against darkness and evil. Hallelujah. And here's the good news. Those who are in Christ will prevail also. Amen and amen. Now let me ask. Are you on God's side? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this, your word that we can read and study and know that it is true truth, that it is infallible, inerrant, and it is your word for your people. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that those who are in Christ are victorious. And Lord, for those who are not in Christ, they are defeated. Father, I pray today that anyone that's within hearing of my voice will come to know Jesus Christ in a saving way. That they will repent of their sins and they will place their faith in Jesus Christ and confess Him as Lord for all to hear. I pray, Lord Father God, this in Jesus' name. Amen.